Garbage.
You see that crap? All that horror crap? Things coming out of crates, people, dead people coming back to life, people turning into weeds, for Christ's sake. I never saw such rotten crap in my life. Where do you get this shit? Who sells it to you? All that horror crap?
Probably good. Whenever I fucking start at the beginning, it always fucking crackles. It sounds really weird, like the first 3 seconds of every episode, and then it evens out. I have no fucking idea what's going on. Hey, what's playing in the background there? Some Japanese movie?
Lisa's watching some shit about rich models that sell houses or some shit for millions of dollars.
I shouldn't say watch, but I listened to a podcast, Saturday, Friday or something, and they were just talking about, like, all these upscale, very expensive restaurants that they just go to, like, it's, oh, everyday thing, I got the fucking money, just go and do whatever I want, and then that just set me into, what the fuck am I doing with my life? Why is everything a fucking failure? So it's been that for the last couple days, but...
Well, it's least... because you, like me, refuse to work in the system, you know? We can't have dumbasses telling us what to do. We want to be that dumbass telling us what to do, and we are, but unfortunately, not a whole lot of money comes along with that.
No. So, what's the payoff? You die.
You die. People at your funeral can say, "Hey, he did his own thing."
If they go,
yeah. If they might not be able to make it because they're busy that weekend or whatever,
or the coronavirus.
That's true. You got to social distance at funerals too.
Hey, my buddy just died of cancer. Rest in peace, Isaac. I guess you say that, even though nobody who knew him probably listened to this shit. But they have, like, a wake this week. Mm-hmm. No plans for a funeral or anything. I'm sorry. All right, well, what the fuck? For one, I don't have pants. And the mask I would wear is the one you made. Even though I'm sure he would appreciate wearing the zombie one and shit. I don't know if his parents were. And I don't know how much English they speak and if I'm going to be the only white person there. So, you know, we'll probably have that to talk about. So I'm going to.
But you know they're going to have good food.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be something. But I figure I might as well go just to sign the book. Highly doubt I'm going to go and look at the coffin. That's always fucking weird to me.
Yeah, that's never a... Yeah, it's just a fucking odd thing. You know, like, hey, let's go look at a dead body, you know, and say goodbye.
Yeah, and try and sell condolences to the family, but they can't understand you. So what the fuck are you doing there, Cracker?
But even if they could understand, it's like the same shit everybody else has already told them, you know, 100 times. Hey, sorry for your loss. Let me know if there's anything I can do.
But in Spanish.
Right. You gotta brush up on that. Like, look that shit up.
If only I had time. I'll just be listening to it over and over on the way there. So yeah. It'll be the only thing I'll be able to say. Hey everybody, welcome to DWN Productions THC Podcast, sponsored by Fast Custom Shirts, on this, the Horrorphilia Podcast Network, and boygob.com. Gotta get used to saying that, boygob.com, because that's where it's all going.
Where's it going?
Boygob.com. When Let's the Horrorphilia Network ends at the end of this year, we will keep going for however long, because, again, you just think about stuff. Just, oh, yeah, this is another failed thing I'm doing. Great.
Yeah, but for now,
hey, two sold. Great. Started out with hope. Maybe it's just because the pre-order's a month long.
The pre-order's a month long, and also tomorrow is the first when most of the people have their bills due and shit, so... You know, middle of the month's usually a little bit better, but fuck it. You got a whole month. A whole month.
Oh, we got a whole month, Joe.
Right. Sitting around like this, like, yeah, waiting.
I'll tell you this, though. I've sold more of the shirts than I have the masks. So at least you got that to look forward to.
How does that work? I thought it was a bundle.
Sure, but you know, people just, hey, can I just get the shirt? Okay, sure. Can I just get the bag? Fine.
What size? 5X.
Yeah, I got it written down, so either tonight or tomorrow, probably tomorrow, I'll send you the first things, and then I'll make my one mask since one's already made.
All right.
Hey, head on over to dwnproductions.net when you're done going to boygob.com and pick up the mummy bundle. It's called the mummy bundle because I couldn't think of fucking anything else, and that's what it is.
It's just
you get a mask,
bundle.
A shirt, a purse, and a couple stickers.
Mummy bundle.
Fucking what should have been the money bundle, but just like everything else, goddamn fucking failure.
I didn't know that the mummy was copyrighted, so it's just mummy bundle.
Mm-hmm. I looked it up.
Fucking Universal.
In monies, the monies, that's copywritten. And money, N-U-N-N-Y. Yeah. So, you know, mummy isn't, because that's just somebody's, I guess, religious beliefs that we took and mocked into a horror character.
That's just that's just a noun. I don't know.
So how's your week going? Oh, hey. We almost had a hurricane, too. I had to spend all those days cutting the boards and then putting them up on the house, the shop, and then my sister's house. And then, nothing happened. And then taking them all down.
Well, you're in a hurricane zone, so you guys get this, like, maybe the past, I don't know how many years. So you don't have that shit pre-cut?
There was some, but it was falling apart because when we put it up, it's every few years. Mm-hmm. So the wood just falls apart.
Yeah. Okay.
But, my sisters, no. Them being new homeowners in the Houston area, they didn't think it was wise to have these boards, I guess.
Yeah. Did Houston get flooded at all? I mean,
nothing.
All right.
No, and they were saying, it's got all this wind. We're going to have this 140-mile-an-hour wind.
Yeah, it was supposed to be unsurvivable, they described it.
It was like I had one beer, and it was getting around 12:30. I was like, I got to go to sleep. Whatever happens, it's going to fucking happen. Then I woke up, nothing.
Yeah, if something happens, it's going to be loud enough to wake you up.
Or it'll just fall on me.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Pardon me. Yeah, we had that to deal with. Unfortunately, I guess Lake Charles wasn't so lucky, and that's where it got hit. And it's life. What are you gonna do? Hey, Black Panther's dead.
Black Panther Scott Bo or what's his name? Chadwick.
Chadwick Boseman.
Boseman, yeah.
Like, they hid that pretty good. Like, after he died, I'm sure you've seen the fucking meme where, oh, people were making fun of this. I'm just like, man, if anybody actually seen those pictures, I'm sure they'd be like, oh my God, what's wrong? Like, they kept that shit under wraps.
Yeah, they did. I mean, it was given his age and shit, that's quite a surprise. But yeah, I've known, like, people in their 20s, they get diagnosed with leukemia and then they're gone pretty fucking quick. You know, it like eats them up, and I guess it's different for everybody. But I haven't seen Black Panther.
Not, you haven't yet?
Still haven't.
This didn't get you to do it?
Nope, I can't. I gotta watch Graduation in France or Spider-Man's.
Well,
and they were
like
even
somebody
showing it on ABC commercial free tonight. With, after the movie, it was like a Hail to the King tribute to Chadwick Boseman.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's good. Look at that. He got his success and all that. He made it. He wasn't a failure dead.
Yeah. His Let's life matters. Joe. You know, I guess.
I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything else besides his work with Marvel. Have you? Or Disney, the Disney company?
No, I don't think so. I haven't seen the baseball movie he did. And shit, I don't even know what else he was in. Mm-hmm.
Fucking shame.
Yeah.
It's really all you can say.
All right.
Especially for two people who really don't care. But,
don't,
I mean,
it doesn't like the Marvel movies to begin
yeah.
with.
But I mean, it's a shame. He's a popular, was popular. That movie
was really popular. And it,
for whichever reason,
nominated for all kinds of awards and stuff. So yeah, good on him, I guess. It sucks that he's not going to be playing that role again. I guess, would he have even, though, in this new wave?
You're going to have to finish watching the movies. I guess I'm going to have to send the Spider-Man movies to you.
So I guess you can so.
Get on it.
Because they're not streaming anywhere.
They are, but you got to pay for them, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I'm not going to do that.
Fucking prick. That sucks. This won't stay. Whatever.
Yeah, more rioting, more people being killed. It's a hell of a year. Hell of a week, I guess.
Hey, Bill and Ted's out.
Yeah. The New Mutants came out.
Yeah, I went to the theater to see that. And I was just like, yeah, I don't care. And I wink, walked out.
It was a good comic for quite a while, but I don't see it having much appeal to people that didn't read that comic, you know?
And even people who read the comics, it was one of those movies. Oh, we're going to make it this. Well, I don't know if we should. Let's make it this. Oh, this sucks. We have to do reshoots. Oh, Disney bought us. Should we spend the money on reshoots? I don't know. All right, let's put it out. Wait, we can't yet. All right, let's put it out now. COVID. All right, let's just throw it out there since we're obligated.
They were, what, promoting it as a horror movie at one point?
At the beginning, it was supposed to be like this superhero horror movie, but I guess since Fan4Stick fucking fell on its ass, they were like, oh, maybe we should do something else. But even with that movie, the studio fucked around or the director wasn't competent. I don't know. That's a very interesting backstory, the whole Fan4Stick thing. If you've never got into it, just listen to a couple YouTube videos in the shop tomorrow. It's something. So it was supposed to be this weird body horror thing about them coming to terms of what's happening, and you know, but it just shit happens. Yeah, that's kind of what happened to this. There's like, oh, the fantastic, but you were meddling, maybe.
Yeah, but I did watch a movie featuring one of my favorite superheroes, Shia LaBeouf, and that was the one you heavily recommended, The Peanut Butter Falcon.
So, I think my review was, you know, it was pretty good. And then something happens that just takes you out of the movie and you really don't know how to take it. Are they saying, oh, this is just what he thinks is going on and how it feels to him? Or are they just like, retard strength, get it?
Right.
So they kind of dropped the ball on that. But Joe, what did you think about the Peanut Butter Falcone?
It was a good flick. As usual, Shia LaBeouf just tears it up. Just tremendous actor, probably the best actor of our time, the best actor working right now, without a doubt. But yeah, it's like a road movie. So Shia LaBeouf, who's just kind of like a rebel of the fishing trade, you know, he sets some other bad fishermen stuff on fire and then has to go on the run because they're after him to kill him. He meets up with a Down syndrome that broke out of
his name.
Peanut
Not
butter.
His wrestling name. His shoot name, brother.
I don't remember his name. Carl.
Well, Shia and Carl were at the Oscars, I guess, this year.
Oh, yeah?
And they presented an award. It
Did
was the You Tried Award and threw him into the fucking rafters.
So this Down syndrome, he wants to go to a wrestling school that the Bayou Cajun Billy or something runs. And that happens to be the Sandman from Spider-Man 3. And he hangs out with Jake the Snake because they still do backyard wrestling. And Mick Foley is refereeing. And yeah, it's just like Shia's teaching this kid about life, you know, how he can't be a heel because he's got a good heart. And then the kid, you know, gets to wrestle, makes his costume, and he picks up Jake the Snake and throws him, like, I don't know, into space, into outer fucking space.
Literally.
But yeah, that's a scene, too, that even Lisa, she's watching it with me, and she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that could have been done a lot better.
Yeah, and then even from there, you know, these guys catch up with Shia LaBeouf finally and hit him with a tire iron. Then you got the scene in the hospital, and then all of a sudden all three of them are going to Florida. So, like from that scene of him throwing Jake the Snake into space, from then on it's just like, well, what the fuck? A lot of unanswered questions here.
Yeah. It's good until it's questionable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would still recommend people watch it, but yeah, it's gonna take a major curveball for you, but luckily it's really close to the end.
Well, speaking of professional wrestling, I watched a documentary called You Cannot Kill David Arquette.
David Arquette, the actor?
No, David Arquette, the WCW world champion.
Or David Arquette, the screen printer?
No, David Arquette, the WCW champion.
Okay.
So, I would say, like all movies, this was probably made to make money. So, I would say David Arquette maybe came up with the idea and said, hey, let's do a documentary about me getting back into wrestling since no one's hiring me for anything else, and we could probably sell this documentary. So, a lot of it's work. Which is, you know, means fake. It's all scripted. And I mean, there's some real stuff where he's talking about, oh, yeah, you know, like I'm saying, I haven't got work for 10 years, but I keep going to auditions. What kind of asshole does that? He gets keep telling no for year, but he keeps going. And then it just goes into like him training with luchadors in Mexico and deathmatch stuff, and some backyard wrestling thing where it's just like kids having fun doing it. So it's just like all bullshit stuff just to, you know, fill up a documentary. It's fine once you know what it is. Like, it's worth a watch. I think this whole, do you remember like a year ago that run that he was doing where he got back into wrestling and he was on the independent circuit?
I don't remember that at all.
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure it was only just to make this documentary, because why wouldn't the WWE take him for a couple weeks, right?
Right.
If he wanted to get in and prove that he could wrestle, if that was the point, because everyone's, oh, David Arquette, worst champion ever. All the people who bled sweat and teared for that fucking belt and David Arquette got. So it was him trying to prove those people wrong. Say, oh, I can wrestle, you see. But then WWF would have definitely taken, because that would have put eyes on the product, meaning more money coming in. So it just, you know, it just seemed like, what you do, you make a movie to make money. And that was their idea. And
fuck it. So did he not get a call for Scream, whatever part they're making now?
Oh, I'm sure he did. Like, they talked about the Scream movies in there and, like, how he was playing a goofy character and he kind of got typecast as that and didn't get any other roles. I don't know. They were talking about how he was on this magazine with, like, Benicio Del Toro and, what's his nuts? The meme guy from Django Unchained, who's in all those memes right now. What's his, Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah.
He was, like, on this magazine with all these stars who went on to become stuff, and he's just over here being David Arquette. I mean, he seems like an all right guy. When I had that little interaction with him at Mask Fest, he seemed like a fine dude. So, I mean, yeah, it's just, as long as you go in and say, oh, yeah, this is just a work documentary, brother. And it is what it is. It's worth a watch if you're interested. If you're not, don't watch it.
I think I'll pass. I'll probably watch Ready to Rumble again instead.
I mean, if you like that movie, it might be worth watching for you. I've never seen it.
Oliver Platt, he's great.
The Platt Man. That's all I got on that, Joe.
All right. I watched another of the Into the Dark series of films from Blumhouse and Hulu. This one was called They Come Knocking. It's about BEMs.
Okay.
BEKs.
That's what I. What the fuck is that technique? Is that like some kind of monster? Some kind of specific monster?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like some creature that takes the form of a kid, but they have black eyes and they like lure people in by being helpless or whatever. It's like one of these more modern myths, like the Slender Man and shit like that.
But haven't they used this, I would say, since like 2000 a lot, when they don't want to make like a monster? It's always just this shitty pale face thing with black eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same thing?
Yeah, pretty much.
Or is like black eye kids a specific thing?
Well, it's a specific thing. And it's usually like out in the woods or whatever, you know. Like, if you go on a cabin trip, the black-eyed kids might come, you know, to the door.
Not the deadites. We just got this cheap bullshit we don't have to spend a lot of money on.
Right.
Because that's independent horror movies. Make the cheapest, fastest piece of shit you possibly can.
Mm-hmm. And, this movie sucks. This movie is not fucking good. It takes maybe 45 minutes to get shit rolling. It's his dad taking his daughters out to camping trip where he proposed to their mom, who's now dead. Cancer ate her up, and they've got her ashes with her, so they're gonna do a big thing, a send off for mom. You got one daughter that's super resentful of dad for mom dying or whatever, And then the black-eyed kids just start showing up, and they won't come in. The trailer that they're in is like, no, you can't. All right. So, yeah, the black-eyed kids just fuck with them, and I don't know. There's some scenes where it looks pretty effective. It's like, hey, you know what? If you'd have worked more on this, this would have been okay, but it's just stupid. It's all over the place. And guess how they get rid of the black-eyed kids, Tom? Guess.
I'm not afraid.
Well, they do a lot of that. You're not real. This isn't real because their mom, they keep on taking the form of her mom somehow and like luring them outside like that. I didn't know black-eyed kids could do that, but.
Splash some water on them.
They pour out mom's ashes. That's it.
Okay.
I don't know how. So, like, if you go camping, take your mom's ashes with you in case black-eyed kids show up, because that's the only way to get rid of them. I don't know. I don't. It's like, yeah, all right, this movie's over.
Okay, so not necessarily in this movie, but, like, in the lore, what's the end game for the black-eyed kids?
I don't know. I picked up a book on them at one of these cryptozoology shows that I set up at, but I never read it.
So you're telling me the black-eyed kids are like a Sasquatch?
Yep.
All right.
Oh, and the holiday thing was Father's Day in this one.
Oh, Mother's Day probably would have made more sense, right?
Right, but yeah, I guess they needed one for that month.
Gotcha. They should have wrote something about a cake.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking pricks. Hey, Joe, you like Tony Hawk?
No. No, I don't. Looks
pretty old now.
Yeah.
Were you ever a fan of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater?
No.
Video game? You ever played it?
Not at all.
Oh, it was a good game. The first couple. The first one was great. Second one was pretty good, and then I really didn't give a fuck. But I watched Pretending I'm a Superman, the story of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. This is an hour and 7 minute documentary made by a bunch of Italians. And it's more about the rise of skateboarding and how the video game got more children's to skateboard. It's definitely more about skateboarding in general, not so much the game. There's stuff about the game in there. If you're a fan of skateboarding or video game history, give it a shot. If you don't have to pay too much or anything, I mean, it's fine. It's well made. It's interesting enough. But I'm sure there's a lot of YouTube videos out there that'll pretty much give you the same stuff. They're off. I've been on YouTube enough to know that there's a lot of free, very well-made video game documentaries on YouTube. So them going out, that's maybe why it was more about actual skateboarding and how that blew up than the video game itself. But it was interesting and fine for what it was. It wasn't just... That was no Al Adamson, boy, I'll tell you what.
Well, let me know when they do a Paperboy video or documentary.
Have you ever seen The King of Kong?
Yes.
They get that referee. They interview that referee in this one. And he's talking about Skate or Die. And, oh, Tony Hawk 2, that was the biggest event we ever had here at Twin Galaxies. Fucking prick.
I watched Lila and Eve with Regina King and Jennifer Lopez.
Well, Regina King's pretty good. I don't know about Jennifer Lopez.
Regina King is a really good actress. I don't know why she picked this movie, because this...
She needed the money.
Maybe. That's a fucking lousy script. Regina King's a grieving mother. Her son was shot on the streets on one of them corners, you know? And,
He wasn't banging, was he?
She meets Jennifer Lopez at a grieving mother's group. And Jennifer Lopez is going to help her get revenge, hunt down the people that killed her son. And it's one of these movies, me and Lisa are watching it, and I'm like, hey, look, this bitch ain't even real. Just watch. This is going to be... And sure enough, yeah, it's one of these things that Jennifer Lopez was just a figment of her imagination the whole time, and it's like, has that whole revolution, like, wasn't there. Looks at the selfies they took, and it's just Regina King.
Because that's who black people blame their problems on, the fucking Puerto Ricans.
Puerto Rican women's.
Oh, yeah. Who I imagine doing all the bad shit in the world? Puerto Ricans.
Hey.
And who was Eve? Lopez?
Yes.
And what was the other one's name?
Lila.
And that was the name of this movie?
Lila and Eve.
And how do you spell Lila?
Lila. And right. It is a Lifetime movie that actually got theatrical release.
So it's a Tyler Perry movie.
I didn't see his name. Maybe I'll go through that list and see who some of these producers were. But, yeah, the man's smart.
40 Acres and a Mule Productions. No, oh, that makes sense.
It wasn't him. It's not part of
Hey, the, you fuck. You the, have seen another Chadwick Boseman movie. Wasn't he in The Five Bloods?
Yeah, wait. Yeah, that's right. He was, because he's the flashback character. The guy that
was.
They're going to... He was good, but he's not in a whole lot of that movie. You know, it's just flashback scenes, and they're talking and shit. But yeah, he was good. That's a good movie.
It's on my top. I'll watch it before the year's end.
It's on my top.
You got two.
My very short list, yeah.
It's a good thing we're doing 10 this year. Since we're doing these top 10 lists now, it'd be silly to do 3, you see. Oh, that'll be a fun episode. Mm-hmm. But hey, movie theaters are opening back up. All right?
Yeah, they are.
Hey, man, I'm out here drinking chiladas. I'm about to go see Rocky III. Hey, shout out to you, Charlie. Hope you enjoyed your movie and got home safe.
I didn't see that.
You should check up on your friends. They might need you.
I guess I should. Yeah, I'm pretty bad about that. Mm-hmm. But what yeah, like said, Bill and Ted's.
Did you go see that?
Nope.
That was available at the home as well. It's was one it? Of those where you can watch it at the home.
Well, I think it was, they had a free screening of it at the Draft House here, but I'm not going to the fucking theater.
Were you ever a Bill and Ted's fan?
I saw them when they came out, but I never thought either one of them were very funny.
Yeah, I mean, I see it. I never gave a fuck either. Except there was like a cereal. I forget what cereal, but you got like this little telephone booth from the animated series. And it was, I don't know, just a little cabinet type thing you could put stuff in. I wanted it. And I mean, I got it. And now it's in the garbage. So, you remember that movie Angus from 1995 about the fucking fat kid and his goofy looking fuck friend?
Fat kid, that's not the one that plays soccer, is it? Or
Football de Americana.
Yeah. I never saw it, but I know what you're talking about. I remember there was advertisements in comic books. Months leading up to its release.
This is one of those coming of age stories. I thought it was just going to be a goof. I always watch this shitty movie about this fat bloke. No, it was all right. You know, it wasn't the best, and it's pretty 90s. But it was a nice little coming of age movie. I guess it got cut to shit, and it started out as a movie that you could tell was in the 90s because it was super gay. And I guess the dad was gay and was married to a man, but still living with the mom, who was like a butch dyke trucker. And then the bully, played by James Vanderbeek in his first role, he was supposed to be gay, and that's why he was a bully. But they had a screening somewhere. I think they said it was Southern California, Orange County, maybe. And like some teenage jock kid was watching out. He just screams out, "The dad's a fag." So they cut all that out. And like in the opening narration, they just say the dad died of a heart attack. And he was supposed to be played by, what's his nuts, Larry Drake, the dentist.
Yeah. Well, but, dark man's villain.
Gone. All gone. But still, it was a nice little, it was a cute little coming of age story, Joe.
Warmed your heart a little.
Yeah, it was surprising because this was the same director from that what the fuck ever Spaced Invaders. So that was kind of like, oh, what, really? And then after that, he made the what the fuck ever Dragonheart movies. So, you know, every director has one. They have one good movie.
Maybe not this next guy. This movie I watched.
Uh-oh.
It's called Vamp. You know, I figured, oh, Grace Jones, she was a singer or a musician or something. Let me watch this.
Or a man. I don't know.
Who knows? Who knows? This is about two white guys that are going to join a sorority.
Caucasian Americans or European Americans.
They're very, very white, these dudes. This is a very 80s movie. Like I said, that other one was Angus was... Agnes was a very 90s. This is very, very 80s. And the only way they're going to be able to allowed into the sorority is to get hire a stripper for their party. It's not too hard, right? It's fucking easy. But so they drive, they pick up. There's only one Asian that they know that has a car. So they get his car, take him with them to go.
Unfortunately, he doesn't drive well.
Right, to scout strip bars. And then there they see Grace Jones dance, and they want to hire her. But oh shit, turns out this strip bar is filled with vampires, Tom.
Male vampires.
Oh. So they have to go into the tunnels.
Is that the code for a man's ass?
Underneath the strip bar. And fight off vampires. So this is the original version of From Dusk Till Dawn, I'd say.
Dusk Till Dawn's way better.
It is. This movie's terrible, man. This movie sucks.
I would say it's more in line with Bordello of Blood.
That's a good movie, too. But,
not as good as Dusk Till Dawn, but it's fun.
No. It's got some decent-looking vampires when they bother. Like when Grace Jones turns into a vampire, you know, they do some real cool shit with her face. But no, the movie sucks.
Yeah, I remember a couple years ago we talked about it. I don't know if you've seen it then, but I've seen it for the first time. And yeah, I don't think I had nice things to say. I don't remember much except, like, I think there was a scene where she was about to fuck one of the kids or something in the basement. And it was just, this is getting kind of weird because I'm pretty sure they both have erections right now.
Yeah, but she did. She fucked him and then turned him into a vampire. And, yeah, that's about it. And she's not even in the movie, but maybe 10 minutes.
And that's the dude from the cover, right?
Right. Yeah. All in white face.
Fucking racist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't recommend Vamp. But if you do want a copy, I'll be selling it at the next convention.
You should look and see what the eBay prices are, because I don't think that has a boutique release yet.
I don't think
you might
so.
Be able to get a couple bucks for it.
It's not that high. It's like 15 to 18 that I've seen.
Bucks?
Yeah.
For a used DVD, that's not bad.
Yeah, I'll sell mine for 10.
All right.
So one of the extras on this was this guy's first film that they saw and decided, yeah, we'll finance Vamp for you. This is Dracula in New York. It's exactly what it sounds like. Dracula wants to go to New York because he's tired of the old blood in Transylvania. He goes to New York. Renfield meets him at the airport. Hilarity ensues. You know, they leave his coffin inside the cab, and the cab just hauls ass, and he can't get into Club 54. Studio 54. Yeah. Very forgettable. It's in black and white. It has a musical number in it where, like, even the bums come out and start singing and the hookers come out and start singing.
Working it's, girls.
It's very fucking dumb. Very fucking dumb.
Well, I watched a very fucking dumb movie, too, Joe. The 1997 classic Mouse Hunt.
Oh, that's a good one.
This was suggested by you.
Yeah.
Because unlike you, I'll watch movies that are suggested so we can talk about them.
Yeah. And it's got your boy Nathan Lane in it.
Yeah. He's there. This was very Three Stooges-esque.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a fan of that kind of comedy, you'll like it. The opening scene is very dark, and I had a good chuckle off of that where they're at their father's funeral, and then he pops out of the casket and goes down deep in a manhole. And then Adam Rifkin's name popped up, and I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. So I was excited from there on, but then it's just a slapsticky pratfall Three Stooges type thing. Yeah. It was okay. It wasn't horrible. It was better than I thought. Just like, why does Joe keep liking this? I was just like, oh, yeah, okay. It's not a little kiddie movie.
It's shot really well. You know, it does a lot of cool shit with following, like, either the mouse or the traps or shit like that. Or, God, I just thought it was fun. It's a fun flick.
Yeah, it was fine. It wasn't like, oh, I can't believe I watched that. I mean, it was fine. I could appreciate it for what it was, but I don't think I'd ever watch it again. And
you
it
will.
Has a weird time period thing to it where you're really not sure when it takes place, but then there's an absolute bottle vodka that the caterers brought in. And I thought that was weird because that looked like the 1990 whatever absolute label. So that kind of threw it off, but yeah, it's worth checking out, I guess. If you have kids, I would say show them this. They'll probably have little giggle fits because people get hit in the dick and shit.
Yeah, and if you're a Christopher Walken fan, this is a role that I don't think most of his fans even know about, and he's probably his best role.
How did you see this for the first time?
I think we had picked it up for the girls to watch way back.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
And it was like, hey, this is better than I thought it was.
This isn't bad, yeah. No, yeah. That's exactly what I thought. It makes sense. Now I understand.
There's another one that I showed them, and fuck, I can't remember the name, but the dad in the family, he is turned into a mouse.
Witches.
No.
I know, I'm just going to bring that up every time we talk about someone turning into a mouse.
They're remaking that, too.
Yeah, well, rest in peace. Well, Dahl. Just another shitty fucking name. Watch anything else?
I watched the band Down play yesterday in a live stream. Because Roop and his brother and Bam Bam came over and they wanted to watch Down.
Oh, okay.
Band Down.
I gotcha.
Because it was
the band right. called Down.
Right.
I was just, what the fuck does the band Down mean?
And it was like an anniversary of one of their albums, so they played that old album and played some other stuff, and sound quality was pretty shit, you know? At one point, like, they shut down the technical difficulties, and then it came back, and the sound was much, much better. But it was like $9 for this downstream or download, live stream, whatever the fuck you call any of this shit. I've never watched shit like that. I think the last thing was the Corey Feldman, also plagued by technical difficulties. But I mean, I guess it was okay. I mean, they played all right. I mean, for watching a concert on fucking TV, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. As each passing year goes on, I dislike live entertainment less and less.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I would like watching a concert on a tape or something. I mean, I used to in late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
I used to get like ICP concerts bootlegged and I'd watch those, but yeah, I don't know. I just don't like going to live entertainment anymore, and I just don't think I'd give a fuck about watching a concert in general, unless it's the almighty Alizoulu, and then you got to. God damn, those are performances.
I did the same thing with VHS. You know, I watched concerts on VHS. Yeah,
that's what I was talking about.
But it was like, to me, it was like, hey, these are bands I'm never going to get to see, so I'll watch them this way. You know, now it's like I've seen a lot of the bands that I thought I would never get to see play live.
These new ones I don't want to see.
Yeah, there's a lot that I don't. But I'll definitely with you on especially like festivals, a festival type fucking music setting. Fuck all that.
Especially I mean, being outside all. No, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and not only that, they're expensive as shit. Fucking beer is expensive as shit. You know, it's nah. I'll throw my money away on some comic books.
Yeah, I remember, shit, maybe 10 years, probably more, dude. Time goes by so fast. But when I was in L.A. working for Soda, we went and got tickets, like the Soda Crew got tickets. There's either ICP and Dark Lotus or something at the House of Blues on Sunset, whatever. And, like, we got tables upstairs by the bar. And I was like, well, why the fuck, why aren't we down there in the pit watching this shit? Why are we up here just Definitely now, if I'm going to go, I want to be up by the bar in the restaurant type area looking over the crowd at the stage. Totally understand that now.
Yeah, I did that, I think I went and saw Brujeria play
years
ago, and it was in Deep Ellum, and yeah, there's a big pit going on, and I'm up there on the riser just watching the band, like, you know, yeah, fuck all that.
And even then, I'm sure you go, it fucking stinks, and because of all the sweat and the people,
yeah,
and you're still too close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just, I don't know, man. It used to be fun. I guess every so often, every 5 years or so, I'll go to an ICP show. Just be, oh yeah, that was fun. Yeah. And but man, I don't give a fuck.
I still like going to concerts, but it's now like a lot of the concerts I go to, a lot of people don't go anyway. So it's not.
They all died.
Yeah,
it's the bands are so old.
Like the last one we went to was like Demons and Wizards, and that was at Gas Monkey, and it was a good crowd, but not everybody was just like, you know, bumping into each other or fucking like leaning over each other.
Because they had their walkers that would at least give you a little bit of space in between, right?
Yeah.
They're wizard canes.
But yeah, the last one we went to that was crowded like that was when we saw Body Count. But that was, those tickets were $5. So I was like, still how am I not going to go too that? Much. It was a fucking great show.
Yeah, I've tried listening to Body Count a few times, but for some reason, I don't know if that's just the sound they were going for. They think, like, it just has to sound shitty, but the quality just, like, the audio quality wasn't there.
Well, he's more from the thrash era, you know, more punk.
I mean, I understand that, but it sounded like a little manufactured. Like, your Ice-T, I've heard your studio-produced fucking albums, how they sound clear and all that. And this just sounds like it was purposely mastered to sound like fucking in a tin can or something.
So what's odd is I don't like that other shit. You know, the the stuff he does is Ice-T, just, you know, his rap stuff. I don't like any of that.
For obvious reasons. You haven't seen Black Panther yet. That makes Season? Sense.
That's right. He is in the hood. I'm sure we'll get to that.
Magic flutes and whatnot. You got anything else?
That I watched? No, mm-hmm. Aside from what we'll be talking about after a bit. But I did read a really bad spy.
Hold on.
Well, I'm going to get a beer real quick.
Hey, while Joe gets a beer, maybe it's time for you to head on over to dwnproductions.net and put in that fucking Halloween order. If there is a Halloween this year. Yeah, just go buy the fucking mummy bundle. Just so I don't hang myself and the rope breaks. Because I'm so fucking fat and then cry because I can't even kill myself, right? So just go to fucking dwnproductions.net and buy one of these goddamn bundles out of pity. Anyways, Joe, I watched a whole bunch of content from the Arrow Gamera Complete Collection set. This might be the best physical media set that has ever been released. This has it all. This has all the Gamera movies in very nice quality. They all have audio commentaries, how entertaining the audio commentaries are. That's up to you. I love the fucking Gamera Heisei trilogy. Those are fucking great. If we ever do our top 10 trilogies, if that's not number one, I don't know what the fuck's going to be, but those commentaries are what the fuck ever. And they're all, like, scripted. I hate fucking scripted commentaries. Just have, I know you can't fucking bring the people. Do that for fuck. Obviously, they have to bring in fans to record commentaries and shit, which I understand, but they were whatever. And then all the special features are all subtitled. Because again, these are Japanese movies. So you just... But for everything you get, there's a lot there. There's like alternate comedy commentary tracks that were recorded long ago. Fucking special features that were ripped off of VHSs. You get all the Gamera comics collected into a hardcover book. Slipped in there. You get a book about the making of all the Gamera movies slipped in there. It's a really good, it's might be one of the best, might be the best physical media release that has ever been released. Severin, you did a great job. You finally nailed one. Good for you. Even though all the special features and shit, because when I do the special features, I'm usually in the shop and I'm listening to them for background noise. This I can't really do because there's a lot of reading. And even then, it's still good shit, man. I don't know what else you could possibly ask for unless they had, like, the people involved in the movie do the commentary tracks. and then you had some fucking cracker just interpreting what they said. You know, just an English dub of the commentary track. Other than that, I don't know what else you can. I mean, all the camera comics, it's fucking there.
Was this a limited run that they were doing, or is it just part of their catalog now?
It might have been. I don't know. It's sold out fucking everywhere. I pre-ordered it on Amazon. I guess they didn't have enough, and they said, fuck me. And luckily, I was able to snag one off of fucking eBay for under $200. And now, fucking at the time of this recording, they're fucking selling for over $300. So, if they were smart, they'd fucking print up some more, but who knows how the rights work with. Yeah. Maybe we can get Dave on and ask him.
Yeah, we'll do that for the next day. Yeah, like I said, I'd seen the set at Fry's. Fry's, when I went into there to look for some ink. But, yeah, I was going for like $150, and I was like, nah, I can't spend that right now.
Credit cards.
And then it turned out they're doing this Holy Diver graphic novel. A deluxe edition, so I dropped the money on that instead. But we all got our shit that we mark on, so.
So, what is that actually?
It's,
Is it supposed to be, like, the backstory?
Yeah.
Okay, so that is what I've seen. Okay.
And it's got the art, the guy doing the art, Scott Hampton. He's somebody I've followed for years and years, so the art I know is going to be good. I'm not too thrilled about the writer who is...
R.L. Stein.
Is it Steve Niles? The 30 Days of Night guy. Which, that was a better movie than it was a comic, so we'll see. We'll see. But I had to.
No, I understand. I bought all the ICP comics when they came out from Chaos Comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, comics.
Yeah, let's get to that then. Yep, that's it. Go buy the Gamera set if you can find it. I think it was $120 retail. That is a fantastic price. If you can find it for $200, I would say that'd be fair. Do you know what a Weebo or a Weebolo is?
You talking about those little round egg-shaped
things? No, these are like, you know what a wigger is?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is like a wigger, but for Japanese culture. So it's like white people, or I guess Americans, who, okay, how do you say Tokyo?
Tokyo?
Tokyo! You know, like white people who would pronounce shit actually like that, and they're all into anime and this stuff. Like, this being a Japanese movie, it caters to a lot of those type of people. In the commentaries and stuff kind of cater to those. And that's not me. I just like giant monsters and goofy shit, right? So, that might help you into thinking, well, I really need to spend this money or not. Because, admittedly, the first, what are they, 8, 9 Gameras? They're just goofy, silly bullshit. Mm-hmm. That's why Mystery Science Theater fucking rips on them and shit, because they're just silly fucking garbage. But that Heisei trilogy is great, and Gamera the Brave's pretty good. So you got to just kind of weigh your light, because this is Weebo shit, I guess.
Well, I've got that trilogy back here somewhere, so maybe I don't need this big fucking box set.
Yeah, if you could find it at the price, because, yeah. I mean, it does come with all the comics in one hardcover set. And
yeah, now that sounds interesting. I'd like to check and read those. Yeah.
So, just if you can find it for the price.
Mm-hmm.
But $300, I'd say,
Nah, I don't know, paying that.
But if you're a Weebo or a Weebolo, whatever the fuck they're called, you're all about it. And you probably pre-ordered it on a few different sites to make sure that you would get it. And I guess I know now on, like, all these boutique DVDs, just spend the extra $5 or $10 and get it from that diabolic place or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
But fuck it, Joe. Comic books. Read anything worth a fuck? Nope. All right. You like lists?
Amazing Spider-Man number 30. Another throwaway issue where this time we don't even get a super-powered villain. We just got a cat burglar named Cat.
There's no titties.
Nope. No titties. But Peter does run into Liz Allen again. And she's being stalked by Flash Thompson. She has Peter, hey, can you, like, stall Flash a bit? He's trying to follow me to find out where I work. So that was kind of
punches him in the fucking mouth.
Yeah, he knocks him the fuck out. And it's like, wow, all right. But then he has to run off and chase after the cat. The cat. J. Jonah Jameson offers a reward because the cat broke into his place and stole some shit. And Spider-Man's saying, hey, I'll get that reward from you. But we know from the past that J. Jonah Jerklin, he could have fucking, like, got off on this because all he has to do is write the check out to Spider-Man's and he can't do shit with it, you know. Mm-hmm. But I guess they forgot that gag. It's just a bullshit throwaway issue. Ned Leeds fucking proposed to Betty Brant. And
of course she tells Peter Parker just because he wants to fuck with him. Oh, we were just friends. What? You're getting married now? You lying whore.
It was you I always loved, Peter.
Yeah, you're fucked in the head, Betty. Go get help. Go find Mysterio or the Shrink, whatever the fuck his name was.
She is. She's fucked, but she's a woman, you know, so.
That makes sense.
Oh, fuck. I hope that she's better.
No, it's not. I looked it up, and it's another fucking stupid thing. The cover looks so shitty. It's like, hey, this is dedicated to you, the new generation of Marvel readers. And it's like a Spider-Man logo drawn really shitty. In between each of the legs, it's a really shitty picture. Hey, speaking of the peanut butter falcon and shitty pictures, this issue solidified that Steve Ditko can't draw people who don't look like they have Down syndrome. I don't know what the fucking deal is, but there's like a shot at J. Jonah Jerklin where his eyes are on the side of his head like a fucking fish, and then Betty Brant pops up with the smiley Down syndrome face. Fuck it. I don't give a fuck about Steve Ditko's art. I understand, you know, he drew him, he co-created him. He should get more fucking recognition than he does, but fuck his garbage. Go get some fucking talent, you fuck, okay? Learn proportions or something.
The cover to this issue is, it's really fucking bad. And your cover is supposed to draw readers in. And, there's nothing going on this cover. It's just a piece of shit.
It's like, what the fuck am I looking at? Something breaking, maybe a water dam falling and some lights on the wall? What?
And there's... Maybe that's Spider-Man. I guess it's him because he's standing on the side of a wall.
Is it his real costume? Is it the costume he bought from the costume store? You'll never know. They look exactly the same. So what does he care?
Right.
Fuck his art. Garbage. Fucking garbage. Not a fan, Joe. Mark Bagley for life.
We'll get to that
eventually.
Hey, so Tom,
what are we gonna call this? Hey, I've been thinking. I couldn't think of shit.
Creature feature countdown to Halloween.
Well, I think we're going to be done before Halloween. But
probably. I wish we were done already, to be honest with you.
Hey, don't you have this DVD? Don't you own this?
Until the next convention.
All right, so like we talked about last week, we are doing the Stan Winston co-produced Arkoff remake and name only HBO Cinemax series, Stan Winston's Creature Features. And if I can take a couple minutes, the lovely and talented Cliff Holverson sent me scans from the Stan Winston book that I sold before I knew we were going to do these. So if I could, can I read the couple paragraphs that were written in this book about this series of movies we're going to take the next 5 weeks to fucking talk about?
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, then. In the late 1990s, after directing two feature films and a musical short, Stan Winston had made the difficult decision to forego a film directing career due to the all-consuming nature of the work. Directing a movie requires you to eat, drink, and sleep that movie, Winston commented, and I couldn't do that and still run the other areas of my life. But what I realized was that I could produce movies without everything else in my life suffering. Unlike directing, there is usually a whole team of producers on a movie. So as a producer, I would be one of many people, but still very involved creatively. I could not be involved in finding and developing scripts, casting, editing, scoring, all the filmmaking processes I love. Winston founded Stan Winston Productions in 1997, hiring Brian Gilbert as its head of production and Ryan Murphy as story editor. Let me take a drink.
Is that Ryan Murphy that went on to do The Shield and shit like that?
I don't know. Maybe they will tell us. From the beginning, the mission of the new company was to produce low-budget science fiction, fantasy, and horror films featuring the kind of quality creatures and makeup effects for which Stan Winston Studios was known. The first film to be produced by Stan Winston Productions were 90-minute reimagining of American International Picture horror films produced by Samuel Arkoff in the 1960s, aired in 2001 and 2002 on HBO and Cinemax. These creature features went a long way toward legitimizing the fledgling production company. They weren't really remakes of old horror movies, Winston said. We just used the titles from the Samuel Arkoff library, and then we got some young writers and directors. Larry Clark wasn't that young.
No.
to take those titles and create new stories. More contemporary stories that would pay homage to the originals. All five creature features were shot over the course of 5 months in a warehouse that had been converted into a soundstage. Each film had its own director, explained Brian Gilbert. But we approached the creature features as one long project, shooting them back to back using the same crews and same stages. Stan was very involved in every stage of making these movies. He helped to develop the stories. He chose the writers and directors, and he had a lot of input once they went into production. Each creature feature, Earth versus the Spider, How to Make a Monster, The Day the World Ended, She Creature, and Teenage Caveman was made for a budget of approximately $3.5 million. And after the creature feature series, this is just me talking now, Stan Winston said, fluff this shit, and went on to make Wrong Turn. So there's a little bit of backstory. And as we also talked about last week, each of these movies also got an action figure. For this one, the figure was made before the movie, And they liked the design of the figure so much, that's what they used to sculpt the creature. Joe? It's
a cool looking figure, because I looked up images of it today.
And it looks nothing like the creature that's actually in the movie. It looks like the creature that's on the box.
Right.
But in the movie, no. Joe, what movie are we starting this out with?
Teenage Caveman.
A movie you own on DVD.
For a little while. For a little while longer. Yeah, this is directed by Larry Clark.
And who, apparently, he only knows how to make one kind of movie.
One kind of movie. And he apparently likes to cast people that have never acted before. And that are willing to take their clothes off.
But I do appreciate that he gave the son of John Cena and James Van Der Beek a starring role. That was awfully nice of him.
Where do I start with this plot? Okay, it's the future. The world is fucked. You got this group that's living in seclusion.
In a cave.
In a cave.
And they're teenagers.
And the leader of this is a religious zealot that likes to rape all the women.
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't like it to do it.
He likes to rape all the young girls who are not of age.
Yeah, that's right. And, they're having none of this, so the kids, like, burn off, and then they find fucking Seattle or something. I don't know what city they find.
Dystopia. And,
they meet some fucking goofy looking dude, some Asian broad.
Some dude who just fell out of Gadzooks.
Yeah, but they like to fuck. But the thing is, once they fuck you, you're either going to turn into them like a teenage caveman.
Or a shitty CGI effect.
Or your guts are going to turn into CGI.
You know what? Either way, you're going to turn into a shitty CGI effect.
That's about all you need to know on the plot. It's just a lot of nudity and
like a 20-minute softcore fuck scene.
Yeah, it was a lot. So I'm guessing this is one of the ones that was definitely for Cinemax. And it's a lot, and it's not erotic. You know, it's just like fucking boring nudity. It's like, okay, put some clothes on. That's fine. And like I mentioned before, nobody can act. They're just like fucking screaming their lines, which doesn't make it any better. It's just a dog shit movie, man. I didn't like it. I didn't fucking like it at all.
Hey, Joe.
It's like, fucking bring on the Sidaris again, man.
You want to play a game?
What game would that be?
What the fuck? Yeah. This sucked. I hope, I don't remember a lot about these movies.
I'm hoping this is the worst one. I'm hoping we start with the worst.
And I'm hoping the payoff isn't just an average makeup at the end.
Right.
Because this definitely, the payoff was not worth it on this one. The makeup looked fine. It was what it was, but for being a payoff to this movie, oh no.
No.
So I did write a few notes down as I was watching this movie, and as is tradition, I will read these notes.
Okay.
When they load. Shitty CGI. Boy, I'll say. They had great teeth for cavemen. Boy, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena, James Van Der Beek's kid, got it. Joe and his fucking weird sex movies. The final form was okay, but nowhere near as good as it needed to be for the payoff. And at the end, he turned into a child molester and went off to Jeffrey Epstein's kid fuck island, I guess.
I guess. I mean, that's kind of the impression I got. I'm taking the kids.
Okay, enjoy them.
Right? Yeah.
Don't you have to fuck them to make them immortal or whatever? Okay.
Right.
The way he's dressed, he's not going to wait until they're of age.
And every character in here is fucking annoying. I mean, you don't even want to hear them talk at all.
Not just annoying, but unlikable, too.
Unlikable, yeah.
So, Joe, which one you want to do next week?
I remember watching and not liking How to Make a Monster, so I think all right, we should go with that one.
You got it, Joe. You got it.
Now, it's kind of a thing so I could get perspective on this movie. I watched the 1956 Teenage Caveman. That's also a piece of shit.
Oh, so they have something in common besides the name.
So you got Robert Vaughn, who looks like he's edging close to 30 in this movie, playing the teenage caveman.
That's the gentleman from Basketball in the lawyer commercials?
Mm-hmm. Maybe Joe's Apartment. No, that was Kevin McCarthy. Magnificent Seven and Zombie 4, Dead Birds or some shit.
I like Zombie 5, Black Zombies.
Yeah, I got that one too. the tribe here, these cavemen. Okay, I'm going to continue going with this review. The tribe, they live in seclusion, and it's like, oh, we can't go past the river. And he's a teenage caveman, so he's rebellious. And he's like, well, why can't we? Well, it's the law. And he's, you know, teenage caveman, so he's like, fuck the law. And he decides to go cross into the river, and you see like dogs dressed up as dinosaurs, or you see like a close-up shot of a Gila monster with like little fake trees and shrubs to make it look like it's giant. You know, the usual shit you see in a prehistoric caveman type movie. That's about it. I mean, it's like he's breaking the law and everything, but all of a sudden some other man comes up. And it's like, oh, look, there are other people back there. And he wants to go explore more. And he does. And it throws all their law into flux. Like, oh, yeah, everything we knew was a lie or whatever. And then they go back to their place but figure, yeah, okay, now we're going to start hunting here. But it turns out that this other guy that they found had a book on him, and that book has pictures of cities like New York and Washington. So this is not a movie about the past. It's actually a movie about the future and how the world had been thrown back into prehistoric times because of nuclear war. So it's a lesson for all of us to learn.
So even though they said it wasn't a remake, and the only thing it had in common was the name, it really was a remake.
It pretty much was a remake, yeah. Except with, like, people with no clothes on.
Mm-hmm. Remember that time in the Stan Winston version where he didn't want to snort that future Coke, so he smacked him in the fucking mouth?
Yeah.
I like that part, but that was about it.
It's like these kids, these teenage cavemen, they've never drank or done coke before, but I guess they instinctively know, like, to lay a rail on a woman's body and snort it off of her that way, you know?
Oh, Larry Clark's a fucking hack.
Hey, I saw this in a movie. Well, oh, wait a minute. We don't know what movies are. Yeah. Oh,
there's people in there. That's Bill Clifton. Yeah. Not looking forward to any more of these, but
I don't know, man. I don't know.
So, Joe, you like lists? We got lists. We got a list. You like them? We got one.
We got a list.
What list we got, Joe?
We got musicians in movies.
I thought it was magicians.
Magicians in movies. Our favorite films featuring a musician of some sort in there, in the cast or whatever.
Of some sort.
Yeah. And I'll start it off with some honorable mentions, Tom.
Nice.
Like Hardware, the Richard Stanley film about a robot that goes crazy. Lemmy is in this. He plays a cab boat driver, cab kind of car.
Ferryman.
A ferryman, yeah. Pay the ferryman. Yeah, so
hey,
you got
Joe,
Lemmy.
I hate to do this again, but I just heard Loomis get up.
All right.
How about you stall for a minute?
I will stall.
Sorry, dog. Unless you want to take a break, and then I'll write this time down and just cut it.
Whatever you want to do.
It's up to you. Let me know quick.
Whatever's easiest. I'll
talk.
All right,
keep talking, Joe.
All right. So like Tom said, we got this bundle going on. It's a Halloween mummy bundle, and you get this mask that Tom did, a mummy mask. And you get a shirt that I did the art for. It's a mummy shirt. And you get a bag with a picture of Tom's mask on it with a mummy. And I don't know. I'll probably also write like maybe a 4-page story giving you the background on this mummy, where he came from, and how he became a mummy, and what's the deal with that fucking dog. But you'll have to buy the bundle to get that.
Sorry, Lori was on it. But Loomis is still here.
Good deal. He'll make it through 2020. Good deal.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But...
yeah. So, after Hardware, I have the David Bowie classic Labyrinth, which also features, I guess, a lot of other people that can sing, but I don't know who they are.
Like Jim Henson.
Yeah. From there, going down to one of my personal favorites, Roll Bounce, featuring Lil Bow Wow. God damn, this movie's so much fun. Next, we got Ghost World, which is one of the best comic book adaptations ever. And you've got Scarlett Johansson, who is also a singer, but you didn't know that. She's a singer. A good-looking singer at that. After that, we've got Twilight Zone the movie that has a cameo from Cherry Curry, the singer of the Runaways, a band I do not care for, but goddamn, this is a good movie, worth whatever sacrifice was made to get this movie out there. Twilight Zone the movie. Those are my honorable mentions.
All right, for my horrible mentions, I have The Pick of Destiny, featuring Dio and Dave Grohl. And then I have Dogma, featuring Alanis Morissette as Gad.
So much better than Clerks 2.
And then I have Halloween H2O, starring a cameo from LL Cool J.
Also better than Clerks 2.
And then I have Bruno, which has a cameo from a few people, most notably Sir Elton John, because he sings anal bleaching. So he has to get a little nod for that.
Nod to you, Sir Elton.
And then I have Precious with Mariah Carey.
Good movie.
Number 10.
Precious. Mariah Carey.
It's a good movie.
It is, it is. She's just okay in it, but it's a good movie.
Looks rough in it, I'll say that. I remember being a little child in my room watching MTV at some point, and Mariah Carey came on, and I was clawing at the TV. like, oh yeah, I'm gonna feel your tits, Mariah Carey. And then my mom busted into the room and it was awkward. So there's my Mariah Carey story.
She is in a movie, I think, called Wise Gals. And it's about women that are married to mobsters or mobsters.
Oh, the kitchen. Girlfriends.
Yeah, it's like that, yeah.
Number 10, I have the documentary The Weird World of Blowfly. And it has a cameo from the guy from Fishbone.
At number 9, I have Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me, which features Chris Isaak and David Bowie. So Bowie's on my list twice here.
My number 9 is Rock and Roll Nightmare, starring John Michael Thor.
Thor.
And Michael spelled fucking retarded or Canadian.
Best Thor movie around.
I second that. Number 8.
I have From Dusk Till Dawn, featuring Juliette Lewis, who fronts a band called Juliette and the Shags or some shit, I don't know.
What are we on?
8.
8. I have, oh shit, can I go back to honorable mentions for a second? I made a little side note that I skipped.
Just for a second.
Okay.
Let's try to move
this over. I have the movies of Rudy Ray Moore, because he was a singer, but, you know, I just can't.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put him there. So number 8?
Yes.
The Blues Brothers, with Aretha Franklin.
Urethra.
Number 7.
At number 7, I have Predator 2 with Ruben Blades. The, I don't know what he is, a drummer, a band leader, some shit. You know, some of that Cuban, Puerto Rican stuff.
What are we at? Number 7?
7.
Number 7, I have Men in Black.
Michael Jackson.
William Smith. Smythe. Sorry. We have a poor connection. Hopefully we're still recording.
I hope so.
Hopefully it sounds okay.
Sound quality is key. At 6, number 6, I have Boogie Nights with Marky Mark. Let me hear your good vibrations.
I'm digging up good vibrations. She's giving me excitation. Oh, 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 good vibrations.
Awesome. Next year we ought to do an album for the bundle.
There is a next year, because there definitely won't be another bundle. Number 6, I have Lady Gaga in Machete Kills. She played Cuba Gooding Jr. in it, you know. He was on a boat trip, you know. And I'm sure there was some singing ho in there that we forgot about.
I'm sure. Gotta be.
I think his name was Jim. Oh, that old singing ho Jim.
Old Jim, that queen. Number 5. I have Sling Blade. Billy Bob Thornton fronts a band, but it's also got Dwight Yoakam in probably one of the best performances I've ever seen from a musician. He's fucking great in this.
Do you think if his name was Dwight Strokem, he would be in more movies?
I would think so.
I'm not probably saying not they'd be legitimate movies.
Right, but they'd be a different, but his filmography would be...
Mm-hmm. My number 5 is the Blaxploitation classic. Also, oh wait, no, I guess I say the musician after I do the movie, right? Okay. So I have Big Money Hustlers with a cameo from Rudy Ray Moore.
That's no Big Money Rustlers, but okay.
I know, it's better. Number four.
The Blues Brothers.
Nice.
Featuring John Lee Hooker.
Hey, language.
Ray Charles.
John Lee Working Girl.
Cab Calloway.
Hey, and Joe, let me hear your best Minnie the Moocher.
Da, 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 da,
I didn't ask for the music, you fuck.
Da, 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 da. I don't know the lyrics.
Here's a story about Minnie the Moocher.
Say hi, 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 hi.
She's a low down hoochie coocher. She had a hole as big as a whale. Those are the lyrics, right?
Yeah.
Oh, number four.
I just did it. The Blues
my
Brothers.
Bad.
It's your number four.
I have Basketball with Real Big Fish and Robert Vaughn. Number three.
Videodrome with Blondie, but she called herself Deborah Harry in this movie.
Fucking bitch.
Yeah, uppity and shit. I'm a real actress.
Number three, How High, featuring Cypress Hill. And your boy, Jeffrey Jones. Number two.
Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, featuring Tina Turner.
Or as I call her, TT.
She also did a song for this film on the soundtrack.
Oh.
We don't need another hero.
That was pretty good.
Yep.
My number two features the stylings of Tito and Tarantula, and that is From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, I forgot they were in this.
It's all right. You had it on your list.
I did.
Number one.
Tarantula is how you say it. You got to work on that shit because you're going to a funeral soon.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, dog.
Number one. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, which features William Shatner, who has two albums, and Leonard Nimoy, who has three.
Well, Joe, my number one should come as no surprise, and that is Planet Terror. It has Ferguson from the Black Eyed Kids. Sure does, doesn't it?
Planet Terror.
Sorry, Terror.
Yeah.
What are we doing next week, SA?
I'd say we'll do our favorite heist movies.
Okay. It's people who steal shit.
People who steals.
Okay. Let's hope you watch the MCU, all of them, by then.
We'll see. Is there any stealing going on there?
Yep. What's Endgame, I think?
Yeah, well, I think in the last Captain America, they stole fucking Bucky.
The hearts of millions. Yeah. Well, that should be fun. You know what else is fun? Buying the Mummy bundle from DWNProductions.net.
Sure does look fun. It's got a trick-or-treating bag.
It does. You can hold it up to your computer on the 31st, and maybe candy will fall out of your 3D printer.
And who doesn't like scratch-and-sniff stickers?
You got scratch-and-sniff stickers?
Well, it's going to smell like paper.
Oh, I thought you were going to rub them on your culo.
Shit, depends on people buying the bundle or not.
Oh, it smells like mierda. Ah!
Yeah, Dios, you're right.
Dios.
So I'm good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm good, right?
Yeah.
Tu es fumo mota? Hey? Get out.
Or just go dress like El Chavo or some shit.
I'll go dressed as Machete.
You got
but I'll just open my coat and it'll be a bunch of rubber dicks. Hey, speaking of rubber dicks.
Head on over to FastCustomShirts.com and get yourself some shirts.
Then after that, boy God.
Brother, 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 brother,
black eyed kids at night, black eyed kids at night, if something don't feel right, don't cut off the line. They pull his scratch and bite, careful hurt you bad, they might. Black eyed kids at night.
Blood, blink, blink from the jugular.
One score when death is in fate. One soul when